Right. We will be in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, I'll begin reading in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, rejoicing where thou hadst not sown. Reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that thine is. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servants into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And dear God, I just pray that you'd help me by your Spirit to minister the word to the church tonight. And Lord, that you would edify the church tonight, dear God. I pray for my dear wife teaching the deaf ladies class, help her there. Heavenly Father, fill her with your Spirit and use her. Pray for Brother Brian in the nursery, fill him with your Spirit and use him as he cares for the children there, dear God. And might you just speak to all of our hearts afresh and anew. What we need tonight is to be drawn closer to you, Father, to be more like your dear Son, be faithful in this thing of getting out the gospel and living in a way that is worthy of that blessed message. So, Father, please help us in these things. We do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I don't think they will mind me announcing this. Our visitors tonight are Taylor and Lauren Norris. Lauren is Jeff Klein's daughter, our missionary's daughter. So they're here, and we are wonderful. We're glad to have them here with us tonight. And I'm going to be talking with them out after the service to see if they're going to be around for the, he told me already, but are they going to get out for the coming weekend, brother? Okay. All right. Till October? Okay. Get with me. We'll set up a meeting for October. We'll have you here for that. That'll be great. And wonderful. So they're going to Mozambique. as missionaries. And so you're and you're on furlough now for that, if I remember correctly. Deputation. Thinking deputation, furlough came out. We just had the Rogers here on furlough, and they're going back to Brazil. So praise the Lord. That's wonderful, and we're just thankful to have them here. Amen. All right. Well, we have a little question box back there that sometimes once in a while I'll hit the pause button and answer a question that put in that box back there. So we're going to hit the pause button tonight on our verse by verse study through the book of Romans, and just want to take the time to answer this question about this parable here tonight, the parable of the talents. And here is the question that was asked. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, is Jesus referring to people and the knowledge they have of God? In other words, are the talents actually knowledge of God, and those who act on the knowledge they have been given are given more knowledge or talents sufficient to lead them to repent and trust in Jesus? Seems to be speaking of salvation, because the unprofitable servant that did not utilize the given talent was cast into outer darkness. All right, so that's a good question, and we'll just take a look at some aspects of that here tonight. And one of the important things to remember about this mystery here, this parable, is it is a kingdom of heaven parable. Matthew alone uses the phrase kingdom of heaven, and we have seen in our study of the mysteries of the kingdom on Sunday night, we saw that this term kingdom of heaven in a sense applies to what God's doing upon the earth. It is God's kingdom from heaven working upon the earth. And we saw that the kingdom of heaven includes some lost people, doesn't it? In the sense that it's being used. Remember, we saw in that study in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 47 and following, the kingdom of heaven was what? Like a net. Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see that? So there's good and bad gathered under the name of what? Christianity. Remember what Jesus said? Many shall say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things? Cast out names, your devil, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonderful things in your name. What Jesus is going to say? Depart from me, I never knew you. You see, they were under the label, the title of Christianity, but they weren't really saved. And it is obvious this is one of those parables, because we have some people, just reading it plainly, we have some people that obviously say, what does the Lord say to them? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And they're obviously saved. And that last one there, he's what? He's obviously lost. It cast into outer darkness. So here we have a typical kingdom of heaven parable. It's going to gather in some saved, and it's going to gather in some lost. By the way, is everybody in every local church saved? No, everybody's not, are they? Can we look in somebody's heart and know if they're saved or lost? We can't do that, can we? Many churches have people that are gathered in from their outreach, and they're gathered into the midst, but they're not born again, and that's the case. That's how the kingdom of heaven is working now at this time. And who's going to sort it out in the end? God is, isn't he? And God's going to sort that out in the end. See, when God sees, we see Mid Valley Baptist Church, and I think I'm fairly comfortable that everybody in here is saved, that I've talked to, and I've seen your lives, and the only two people can know you're saved, right? That's you and God, for 100% sure. But we also see the fruits in others' lives where we gain that as much as humanly possible. We can believe that others, you know, have that confidence that others are saved as much as humanly possible. And that's the way I feel about the folks that come in this church, especially on Wednesday night and such. Does gather in some cases, perhaps that are lost. Those who profess Christianity. But do not actually possess Christianity. Some people are attracted to it because of the morality of it. You know, Romans chapter two talks about the moral person. There are some people that pride themselves in being more moral than another. And we saw in our book, in our study of Romans, that's not going to get them to heaven unless they repent. Amen. They're still, no matter how moral they may be in comparison to others, what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's only one righteousness that gets anybody to heaven, and that's what? That's faith in Jesus Christ. And so we see that. It's in this list of parables, we also see the previous parable in this chapter also encompasses both saved and lost. That's the parable of the ten virgins. And when you read that in Matthew 25 here, let's see, there's 10 virgins took their lamps, verse 1. Five were wise, five were foolish, verse 2. Foolish took their lamps and took no oil in them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The bridegroom comes, that's Christ. At midnight there's a cry, the bridegroom comes out, the virgins arise and trim their lamps, verse 7. But the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They hadn't taken oil. But the wise said, not so, let's not be enough for us. So they send them away to get their oil. And what does Jesus say when the others come back? Verse 12, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So what is happening there in that parable? Well, those that had the lanterns with no oil, they lit them. They look like a Christian. They have a light that's shining. There are people that are faithful to church. They do kind deeds. They lit the wick. The light is burning. But a lamp with no oil in it, what happens? It doesn't burn too good, and it's going to go out. And that's what happened to them. That lamp and that light there is a picture of the law. See, they had the law and the commandments. And the oil, by the way, is a picture of the Holy Spirit, but no Spirit. So I don't just say that. The Scripture, Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and the proofs of instruction are the way of life. We all know Psalm 119:105, thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. So some of those people, we're trying to keep the commandments. Remember what the Jews did in our study in Romans? Refusing God's righteousness, what? And going about to establish their own righteousness, had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They were going around trying to just be a good enough person to get to heaven. Here's my lamp. God will accept this. No. Hey, that's going to go out, friend. If you're going to trust in that, you're going to find out that lamp's going to go out. You better pray to God for forgiveness of sin for that Holy Spirit, because it's that oil. You see, the believer follows God by the indwelling Spirit within. He brings forth that fruit from within us, and that Spirit in us. It's not something we're doing in the flesh. And so we see the kind of the same thing in the previous parable. That oil being those that are saved. Christ is the anointed one. Anointed, they would anoint with oil, and showing the Spirit there. Now, in the parable of talents, It's obvious we have another one where the net's been cast. There's good and bad that are mentioned here. And the talents are defined. What are the talents? Look at verse 18. But he that had received one talent went and digged in the earth and hid what? His Lord's money. His Lord's money. Now, what would that be? Well, does God hand out money? No. It's obviously not actual cash, okay? God didn't give them a cashier's check, okay? It's obviously not actual cash. Very generally speaking, what the Lord's money would be what? His riches. His riches. And he gives them a certain amount of his riches. His riches could be many things. By the way, did you know that God gives riches both to saved and the lost? And he gives blessings to all. And we see that through the scriptures. In Luke 6:35, we are commanded as believers, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is what? Kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's God giving out his kindness, his goodness. That's his riches. He's giving what? To the unthankful and to the evil. They're getting things from God, whether they recognize it or realize it or not. To the lost is given what? The gospel. Remember we saw in our study in Romans, Paul described that dispensational change that was happening. Israel's been partly blinded, set aside, and now the gospel is going to who? The Gentiles. What an opportunity. To have opportunities is a great richness that God gives. By the way, we're very rich in that here in the United States, aren't we? I mean, we have people, you know, our problem here really is not getting people the gospel. Our problem here is getting the gospel untangled from all the things that people have added to it. Most everybody in our country has heard the gospel, but we've had so many people so add so much to it and take so much away from it that it takes a lot of work to get them down back to what the simple, plain gospel is. Because we have had so many opportunities here to receive the gospel, and so that would be an example of riches that God pours upon a lost person. And if you're a lost person, somebody comes, tells you, and gives you the gospel, guess what God just did? He poured out some riches on you. You got a neighbor that cares about you, a family member that cares about you, and you're lost, and they come, minister, trying to reach you with salvation. Guess what? God just poured out some riches on you. And he's always doing that. He's doing that to the lost and to the saved alike. All the lost. And blessings come their way, those opportunities. Christians are given we have all the, we can say that we have all the blessings that the lost had in, wanted to see here. He pours out his goodness on us all. Now, what do we have? We have that goodness. But now being saved, we have what? We have salvation. We have also what? The Holy Spirit. We have spiritual gifts to serve with. We have all of these things that have come our way. By the way, the mercies of God. Anybody ever received any of those gifts? I have. And God's his mercies what? Are new every morning, the Bible says. And they go out to all. So the Bible doesn't tell us what it tells us these talents are our Lord's money, are our Lord's riches, but they don't tell us which ones they are. But since we know that that one of these folks is lost, that would be the riches that God pours out upon the lost. It was given some kind of his Lord's money, of the Lord's riches. You see that? The others were saved, so they could be receiving other things that the lost can't receive. When we're saved, what? We all get a gift. We all get an ability to minister with, don't we? It's called a spiritual gift. Those are riches that a lost person, can't receive. and is a spiritual gift. But there are also talents that the natural talents that people have that can be a gift from God, and those kind of things. So he talks about these gifts. Now, okay, so with the lost, it can be any of those things we mentioned. That last person, maybe they had lots of opportunities to be saved. And as was mentioned in the question, maybe that was given some light so that he could believe it and go a step farther, kind of like Cornelius. You know, he had accepted the God of the Jews, and he believed in the one God of heaven. And then God says, well, that was good for now, Cornelius, but right now there's some more revelation you need to see. And you need to send for a man by the name of Simon Peter. And so he said, maybe it was that kind of a thing with this lost one. It was some kind of riches of God that was poured out upon him. And now, what is it about the the one that had received five talents doubled that? You know, made it 10. And the other two doubling it, you know, making it four, whatever it was there. What is this multiplication of this thing then that God would give us? Well, obviously, as the mission for that lost person, for that last guy, if he accepts that light that God's given him, what's God going to give him? Some more light. He's going to give him his. You know, if he, okay, there can't be multiple gods. There's one God. Don't know who he is, but there's one God. God says, that's good. Now I'll give you some more light. And he'll lead him along the way. So that's what he could do with that one. Now what about with the saved? Well, we are given gifts and many blessings. And these things that come our way, you may have the gift of teaching, and may have the gift of ministry, mercy, different kinds of gifts. Now when we receive these gifts, guess what? They can be cultivated. If you have a gift of exhortation, it doesn't mean that, boom, from the time you were born again, you became the perfect exhorter. You say, oh man, I went in there and they were just, you know, and they were just so downhearted, and I went in there with my gift of exhortation, and now they want to be a missionary to Mozambique. And they just want to, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You see, you are compelled to serve in some manners, and even those gifts can what be cultivated, can't they? Even our Lord grew what in wisdom and in favor with man and God, and so those gifts. If you have the gift of giving, and we'll look at Romans chapter 12. It talks about some of these gifts in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Romans 12, 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, preaching, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And so it's going to be what? This gift of teaching or preaching is going to be, has to be what? It has to be curbed according to the faith, according to the book. You've got to learn, you've got to study. Or ministry. Let us wait our ministering. Work on your ministering, how you serve. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth. Look, let him do it with simplicity. Do you see that? There's some learning there in how to exercise the gift of giving. Learn how to do that gift of giving. You know, you don't want it to be, if you have the gift of giving, you don't want to be someone who says, well, I gave, so much to the church. I'm just so thankful I can give so much to the church, you know. You don't want to do that. Why? Because the Bible teaches that you don't. When it comes to alms, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. And God that seeth in secret what will reward you openly. And so there's a learning process there. You see what I'm saying with the gift? They can be cultivated. Someone with a gift of giving can become a better giver. Someone with a gift of teaching can become a better teacher. Someone with with the gift of ministry can become a better ministerer, and all those, they can be cultivated by the Holy Spirit as we yield to God, as we walk with Him. So that's where you have that multiplication there. of those things that God has given each one. We see that gifts can be neglected. 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul writes to Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Don't neglect your gift. Be busy doing what God has called you to do. 2 Peter 3:18. The gifts are called in Romans 12:6. He called the gifts grace that is given to us. They're called that in Romans 12:6. And then we are in 2 Peter 3:18. We grow what? In the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we grow in these things. And think about this. Even the fruits of the Spirit can grow. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Oh, when I got saved, I'm just thankful that the love that comes out of me is just so perfect and so pure. The temperance, I can't believe the temperance I have since I got saved. Is that how it works? That's not how it works, is it? How does it work? Are those fruits there in the Holy Spirit? Are they there? Oh, yes, they are. But what? They've got to be cultivated, don't they? We've got to yield to God. We've got to learn about them. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. When we exercise perhaps a gift in a wrong way, when we're not exercising the way that we're supposed to, perhaps, and God teaches us, and what? And even those gifts can be cultivated. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, we see that. 2 Corinthians 8:7, the Scripture says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything." How many here are glad that you can increase in faith? That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? How many of us here say, "Well, I have enough faith"? No, we want to see that increase, don't we? 2 Corinthians 8:7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, growing in those who have speaking gifts, becoming better at that by the Spirit of God, yielding to God, learning in that." I've learned that I'm not supposed to teach. That I'm not always supposed to teach everything I learned when I'm studying, and I've learned I'm not supposed to. Sometimes I'm not supposed to preach something that just seems to be right in my brain at the time. I can't explain all that, but we learn those things, okay? And we have to trust the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us through that. As you abound in everything, in faith, 2 Corinthians 8:7, utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us. See that you abound in this grace also. And that grace he was talking about there was giving. So talking about all, even the fruits of the Spirit, we cultivate them. They become more prevalent in our lives as we yield to God, cultivating these gifts. Now, notice Ephesians 4:12. What are we here for as a church? For the perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Building up the body of Christ both numerically and spiritually. That's what God wants us to do. I'm thankful for all those who pray and invite and bring visitors and such. That's a wonderful thing. And invite your neighbor. And I know you can't drag them in, but you invite them. I'm thankful for that. Some of you have a bus ministry, and I'm thankful for that. Everybody has a car. We have a bus ministry, amen? And I'm thankful for that. I'd like to know that anybody that we can invite on visitation, somebody be willing to pick them up. I tell them that. We'll have somebody come pick you up if you don't have a ride. We'll get you there. And by the way, what kind of church would it be if we weren't willing to do that? Amen. We need to be faithful in doing that. We are here for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, it's interesting. You notice the ones who took the gifts and used it for God's glory. And by the way, some have more gifts than others. Some people, there may be one person may have a church of 5,000. One person that may have a church of 5. Okay, you don't know what God had. Either way, the church with 5,000 what keeps trying to reach more, and the church with 5 keeps trying to reach more. What church gets to the place where you say, "Oh, we have enough"? We should never get there, should we? And we should never be there. We should always want to see more coming. God will decide. It's not you and I to decide the number. God decides that, and the gifts he has given. But we're always be reaching out and in whatever way that we can to bring others in. Now, it's interesting that these that come and use their Lord's riches wisely, as he comes and reports, they come with diligence. They come. You get the sense that they're it's not a difficult thing for them reporting. And so he comes back. He's gone a long time, verse 19. And he says, verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful. Well, look at verse 20. He received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, look here, Lord. Look what it's done. What he's saying. Look what you've done. Look how you've blessed me and helped me to see this multiply. Thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. And he said the same thing to all those who had used the gifts that were given them in the way that God wanted them to. So they're giving that report and with confidence. The good hand of God's blessing upon them. They used what God gave them, saw it increased, and listen, they faithfully gave it all back to God. See, the one that had 5 talents, now he had 10. He said, well, God, you gave me 5 talents, and behold, I gained 5 talents more. He said, here's 8 for you, God. I'll just keep, I'll go ahead and claim the other 2. No, hey, it's all God's, isn't it? Didn't God do it all? And so what did they do? They took the 5 talents and were faithful to God. God multiplied that. He said, you gave me 5, it multiplied to 10. And he came back and said, behold, God, here's all 10. It's all you. You get the glory for all, you get the glory for all of it. You see that? Each one of them did that. And we see that there. But the last guy, it's easiest to tell this person. We can tell this pretty much this person's spiritual condition before our Lord pronounces his doom at the end there in Matthew 25 verses 24 and following. Look what he says about the Lord. He says, he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that thine is. Wow. What a statement he makes to the Lord there. He says, I knew that you're a hard man. You know, that's the way the lost world looks at God, many of them. He is a hard man. He is harsh. That word hard, harsh, rough, stern, of a sordid, gripping disposition, taking advantage of the poor, oppressing them. I knew you were that kind of Lord. Wow. What an affront. By the way, didn't the Lord give him that gift? He certainly did. I knew you were a hard man. And so I was afraid, and I went and hid, reaping what I was not sown, gathering what I was not strawed, taking what you made others work for. Wow. Wow. And then the Lord answers him. He says, but I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Yeah. It's funny. The lost aren't really afraid until they face the Lord, many of them. Yeah, you read Revelation? In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, what? But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable. In Revelation 6:15, the Lord appears, and here's the lost response. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of the Lamb. You see that? That fear comes when they came face to face with our mighty God. It was just because I was so afraid. I trembled at you. Well, he made me tremble at him when the Lord met him. But that was a lie. That's not why he hid the talent. He hid the talent because he had no interest in glorifying his God. And look what he says, he went and hid it. But the Lord challenges his lie. And look what the Lord says. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Did he say, thou fearful servant? He was fearful now, but what was his problem? His real problem was he was wicked and slothful. He was wicked because he didn't want to glorify God, and slothful because he had no interest in doing, in taking advantage of what God had brought to in his life, whatever that was. And so he goes and he digs a hole and he hides it. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that, if you knew this. And then when Jesus said, when the Lord says this, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. He's not saying that's the way I am. You're right. He's not saying that. He's saying I'm going to judge you by your own mind. You think you knew that I'm such a hard man, oppressing those that work for me, taking, you know, what's really not mine, in your mind, you think. If you really knew that, if you're really operating with that mindset, then his Lord says to him, if I did all that, verse 26, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received my own with usury. If I'm such a hard taskmaster and I demand that profit, why were you so bold to go dig a hole and hide it? If what you said is really true about yourself, you'd have been out there. Oh man, I've got to get an exchange on this thing. I've got to respond to it. This taskmaster has given me this, and he's coming back. And see, his own actions betrayed what he was saying. Betrayed what he was saying to the Lord there. So he challenges his lie, and Barnes. Says this, Albert Barnes, he says, that this expresses exactly the feeling of sinners. God, in their view, is hard, cruel, and unjust. And many times we hear that as we go out and speak with people. All the excuses of sinners are excuses for their indolence and sin, and they cheat themselves out of heaven. The effect of this excuse was what? Was to be rejected here, cast away. So are the excuses of sinners for not coming to God. Well, I don't want nothing to do with that religion. You know, you come and you tell a friend about the Lord. Wow, they just received a talent. They just received a riches from God. Some of his money they just received. And what do they do with it? They cast it in the back and go out and dig a hole. You know, I thought about that. He's talking about how fearful he is about the master. And look at verse 25. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that thine is. He didn't even brand to him. In other words, go get what you have. Oh my goodness. That proves he wasn't so fearful when the Lord, before the Lord returned. You see, he was negligent in doing those things. And think about this. He probably put more effort in to do nothing than if he'd done something with it. He went out and digged a hole. I mean, that's some work. You ever meet people that they work harder trying to avoid work? If they actually got a job, they'd probably be rich. And they'd probably make a wonderful entrepreneur if they put half the effort into finding a job and doing something as trying to avoid work. You ever met people like that? That was this guy here. He goes out and digs a hole and hides the thing. And then has the gall to stand before the Lord and say, I went and dug a hole and hid it. And doesn't even bring it. There thou hast that thine is. It's obvious this person is not regenerate. They're not born again. They had no interest in what their Lord offered them. And rightly so. And as our Lord will do in the end, he comes out and he separates, you know, the wheat from the tares. And by the way, he rewards accordingly, and he rewards us in a way. We have gifts given to us, and the judgment seat of Christ rewards and such. He also rewards the lost. There are different degrees of punishment, hell, as best we can tell by the Bible. And so he rewards both, the kingdom of heaven, including all that. Hopefully that clears up what he's talking about in this parable here, how he's reaching out to all, and God knows all hearts. And he holds us accountable for those blessings that come into our life. I believe that somebody who's in a foreign country, and they get one opportunity to hear the gospel, and that's it. That's all. Is God just? Absolutely. Absolutely. What about somebody who gets 100 and they reject it? Well, I think there's going to be more to answer for. I think there's more to answer for, not so much in the level, the way the world looks, like the level of the badness of sins that people commit, not so much that, as how much light we reject. How much goodness has God used to reach out to us? And we've said no. Or the lost person has said no. The more that is, the more that person has to answer for. And we see that. And so I think that's what's taking place, certainly, in this parable here. Now, I was thinking about this just in closing real quick. He talks about him, the Lord going away for a long time. And that was news to these guys here either way. You see, because the Lord is coming back at the end of the tribulation. We know that. And he's also coming for us before that in the rapture. But the Jews here didn't understand either one of those. They didn't understand the rapture. It wasn't revealed yet. And they didn't understand the Messiah coming and leaving. They expected him to come and be king. So this idea of a king, of the Messiah coming and then going away into a far land and being gone a long time, they missed that. They didn't understand that. They missed the suffering Messiah part of it, you see. So either way, this his going and coming again, going away and coming again, was news to them, to the Jews. And so he gives them this lesson. It's applicable to us, I think, in the coming of the rapture. He's coming back for us. And I think it's applicable to those who will be on the earth at the end of the tribulation when he comes back, that and we come back with him. That time there, it's applicable for that as well. Amen. I hope that clears that up. Hope it'll be a challenge to us to be faithful. By the way, he said he was gone for a long time. It seems like a long time to us, doesn't it? But what? Those servants were faithful. Those servants were faithful in multiplying what God had given them. And by the way, the other lost servant was what? He was unfaithful for a real long time. He was faithful to being unfaithful, wasn't he? He had a real long time to change his mind about that talent that he buried out there. But he never went and got it. Never went and got it. And so we see valuable lessons to learn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness on us. Oh God, you showered us with so many blessings. And Father, I pray that we would take advantage of the opportunities that you give us. We would be looking for and praying to see those opportunities, to create opportunities, God, as you would direct. And Father, help us to be good stewards of this gospel which you've given us, good ambassadors for you, and reaching out, living lives that are pleasing to you, so that as we testify, we can be considered a witness worthy of hearing because of your Spirit and because of your power. And so, Father, help us in that, we pray. And I thank you for each one here tonight, and take us home safely. Help us to glorify your name the remainder of the week. If you tarry, dear God, bring us back here to worship together once again. And Father, we do pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.